Check it out. Listen up. Find out what it is all about.
Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is KUPR 99.9 FM, Placidas, New Mexico. And today on Conversations with Matthew Bronson, we're going to be talking to Pathways. Mr. Peter Callen and Mr. Mitch Johnson are part of Pathways. It is a statewide, 100-member-strong organization founded in 2007 and is doing a lot of things that I think everyone listening is going to not only be interested in, but hopefully want to get involved with. So with that, no further ado, Peter Callen, tell us about Pathways and welcome to Conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. This is great to for you to have us on your show again. And by way of introduction, I'd like to talk about how I got involved with Pathways. Back in 2006, we incorporated in 2007, but we first started off as the Perdiz Canyon Coalition, and I met...
I'm sorry, which canyon?
Perdiz.
Perdiz, okay.
Yeah.
I'm still enough of a newbie that I...
Yeah, so
going, oh yeah, you know
that's
Perdiz, isn't
to the east of the village there.
Okay,
and there's a Perdiz Canyon Road as well, but then there's an actual canyon, and so I met Mitch Johnson and Elise Van Arsdale, and then Gordon Darborough, and we've had other board members too over the years, but we founded this group, and it really was a way for us to give back to this place where we live, that that's our home, and we didn't want to see Sandia Mountain completely ringed with development and people, and saw that there was only one pathway out really to the northeast that was still open. And so that's what we were focusing on. But over the years, it's really been a joy to give my time and energy to working on the projects that we've done over the years.
Peter, you said give back to the community.
Yeah.
In the past 30 or 40 years of adult life or whatever, were you involved with four-legged creatures? And that was, I guess, of all the things you could be doing to give back, why Pathways? Because there's no shortage of organizations that could use your help.
Right, right. Well, I guess it's because this is where I live. And there really wasn't an organization that we knew of when we started that was filling this role of... like more landscape connectivity is the word that we learned later what was actually what we were doing. After a year or so, we discovered there were actually other groups that were doing this in the country, and it was a great boost for us to learn that. And so it's been a learning experience and
growing support.
Yes, yes. And I'm just always amazed at the people who are really touched by what we're doing and really want to help. And it's been a place to come back to, because wildlife issues and threats are difficult, emotionally and mentally, and to work on these challenges. And so to have a place to come back to and to regroup and rejuvenate has been really important. And to have that support of not only the community here, but folks in Albuquerque and in Santa Fe and around the state that have found out about what we're doing, their support has just, been what has kept us going.
Right. Well, and... certainly, one of the things that I've learned and reflect upon quite often, being relatively new in town, just a few years, even though I worked out here in the early 2000s, is that Placidas is a very giving community. they're very involved, perhaps more financially involved than physically involved, which is something we're going to talk about in a bit. But yeah, it's a great organization or community of people, very like-minded for the most part. There, obviously, there are some differing opinions on things. But so does Pathway, because you and Mitch know it intimately. You live and breathe it. We've got a certain number of people, probably more than you would like, that don't may never even heard of Pathway.
Right.
So let's try to explain to them on a level deeper than you might think of, because you go, oh, I know Pathways. But I don't know Pathways. You've just met me. We're flying coast to coast, or we're on the Greyhound bus, and you're going to...
Okay.
You know, so do you have like a mission? Do you have a mission statement? Every organization has to have a mission statement.
Sure, we do. It's to protect and identify wildlife corridors throughout the state of New Mexico.
And how does one do that?
And, well, through... we have several programs that we work on the ground, identifying animal track and sign, documenting the presence of specific animals. And there are large mammals like bears and cougars, deer and elk, that are representative of Pathways because they need large landscape connectivity to live, not only on the mountain that they live on, but they need to be able to go between the mountains. So that's kind of what we're looking at, is the connecting the pathways between the mountains of New Mexico.
So you are you kind of also talking about peaceful coexistence?
Sure.
Is that possible?
Exactly. Yeah.
I know it's probably okay on our side, but are some of these larger animals, are they willing to share?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have lived with cougars and bears forever, you know, throughout our history. So I know it's possible to do. It's just, you know, in modern times, more a matter of education and of allaying the fears, because once people know what to do or what these animals want, it's much easier to live with them and not be fearful.
Right. Well, you know, as a an organization, there are always things going on legislatively, either at the local level, the community level, or the state, and I guess even federal too, that you have to get involved with. I understand one of the things that is high on your list is the Buffalo Track and Crest of Montezuma.
Yeah, it is. And before we go any further, I want to have Mitch introduce himself and speak as well and give a introduction to what he wants to say.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it. Thank you, Matthew, for having us on. Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment to the last point that we were on. When it comes to identifying where we need to do corridor work, people live in such stark opposition to the planet that it's easy to identify where we need to do work because human activity is highlighting it.
Okay. And you've used the term corridor work a few times. Can you just kind of define that?
So I will tell you the truth. Corridor is a modern term.
Okay.
We'd really rather...
Like cool and nifty?
Yeah, well, it's not so nifty, and I'll explain. We'd rather think of animal movement in terms of permeability on the landscape. They had the entire landscape at their disposal for. Human activity is curtailing that. And so corridor is a modern term because we're faced now with having to actually, in some cases, engineer corridors through areas of human activity, which, although it limits the animals, at least still provides them the passage.
Sure.
But corridor is sort of a negative connotation, although we utilize it in our title. It's not necessarily the best of terms when we're talking about animals being able to move through the landscape.
It doesn't give me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, you say it's a negative term. It's, you know, nuclear waste. That gives me the heebie-jeebies. Quarter doesn't make the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
The thing that's alarming is that we see that human activity is restricting the animal activity. And because of the strict relationship between the health of the land and the numbers of animals and their activity, we're actually having a negative effect.
And what are us bipeds doing to ruin these animals' day? Just by being here?
One of the things that we do is we try to manage the animals. And under the guise that we have to keep the numbers down because too high a numbers will not only be unhealthy to them, but unhealthy to the landscape. Well, you cannot make that argument if you simply draw the parallel between the past and the present. How did millions and millions of ungulates, buffalo, elk, deer, and antelope live across this country before it was...
Probably prairie dogs, too.
And everything was there. And nature was striking its balance. And why was it supporting all those animals? Because they were challenging the landscape, which caused it to react, which made it lush. And they were working it properly. So we can't accept the management practices that we have now, and we can't accept the reason for the management practices. The logic doesn't hold. And what we see now is a landscape that's dying back. We can see it diminishing right before our eyes.
Right. Well, no, I can see the, and it just tears me up every time I think about buffalo and bison as far as the eye can see. I just can't imagine what that would have looked, smelled, sounded like. Probably smell wasn't so good.
And grasses that you walk through that nobody could see you. Herds could come out of it, and you didn't know they were there until they came walking out.
Or the cougar, you didn't know was
or
there.
Or the cougar, you didn't know was or, there.
But so people come, and that's what we do, and they're tasty. So this is a question, not a statement. Did we just knock off all the bison because we didn't like them, or just that we overate them?
It was the conquest of the West, coupled with a desire to starve out the natives to open up the landscape. I mean, there was just all these dynamics going on there. Unfortunately, the animals just become victims of the human encroachment.
But if you kill off the bison to starve out the locals, aren't we starving ourselves out also?
Exactly.
Well, that's not what I call a good plan.
No. No, and when you consider that the buffalo actually is larger than cattle, they don't need the same maintenance. They actually groom and help the landscape, and it actually sells for more. It makes no sense for us to be running cattle on the land.
So... I'm not sure how you solve this problem. You know, there of the corridors, people or most animals, you know, it's like a fish tank. You need so many gallons of water per fish. And otherwise they die. Even though you're feeding them enough, they need a certain amount of elbow room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same way with the animals. Maybe a wolf pack needs 10 acres or 100 acres, and a buffalo needs 3 acres. But so are people statewide, and I guess we're kind of focusing on Placidus, are people opposing the corridor? Are they putting up, are they preventing the animals from wandering as they think it's appropriate?
No. Well, I like to speak to that a little bit. In right when we got started with this group, immediately we had to deal with travel management with the Forest Service here on Cibola National Forest, which is Sandia Mountain. And it's not what we wanted to deal with. It's not why we organized or anything,
right.
You know, was to have to all of a sudden deal with OHV use and, you know, roads and that kind of thing. But we saw that, well, that's directly, you know, one of the challenges to wildlife movement. But the way we did it was not through opposition to, you know, the OHV groups or to people who wanted to drive you know, motorcycles or other vehicles. It was to promote wildlife and the needs of wildlife to be able to move. And so that's it. It was a good lesson for us at the beginning, because we saw how a lot of groups kind of turn into these campaign against something, you know, in the environment.
Right.
So instead of doing that, which, you know, gets people fired up and a lot of emotion, but it doesn't last. And we wanted to be able to go into the long term with this and really be focused on the needs of the wildlife. And so
it's kind of like the 90-second news cycle. You know, it's big news now.
Uh-huh.
This afternoon, it was like so 20 years ago, we don't even uh-huh. talk about it again. So yeah, that's a challenge
right.
to keep everybody fired up.
Right. So what another thing that we learned was that people do care about wildlife, and they, when they know what they can do to help, that is what they want to know, you know.
Well, that doesn't seem surprising.
But when you couch it in terms of you can't do this, you're restricted to do that.
Right.
You must not do that. Then you have a fight on your hands.
Sure.
Because people don't want to give up their, you know, their rights for anything. But when you have it in terms of what can you do for these animals, then it's a different, you know, it's just a subtle,
right.
you know.
Not only what can we do, and I think we should talk about that, it's also, are there things that people are doing, or regulations or laws or whatever oversight that is hurting the animals?
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hear about that, Mitch.
Well, I hate to say it, but management is mismanagement, and that's what's hurting the animals. We're hurting all of life. We're playing around with DNA, and it's the mechanism. It is life. It's the mechanism of life, and it's an intuitive mechanism, and that's how life strikes a balance. It talks to itself through everything that is all the time.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any genetic research labs in Placidas, so locally, what regulations or general community behavior is imposing on the wildlife you're trying to protect?
Well, it's just the general practices of mankind, those general accepted bits of information that we get. I like to call it our Rolodex. We always go to our Rolodex for the information and the reaction or action. And that's a detrimental thing, because the Rolodex is egocentric and it's specific to humans almost completely. And so you have to use the Rolodex as a reference. That should be on a shelf as part of your whole bunch of reference, and you need to think outside
sure.
that and gather the information that applies to all
well,
of life.
I still need to get more specific so I can understand. We are in the process, I've mentioned it way too often because it's taking way too long, we're attempting to build a house here, and so we go visit the land at least weekly, and there are tracks that are, I don't know if they're Bigfoot or if they're coyote or whatever, but let's sensibly, they're probably coyote. What is being done in this area that is hurting the coyotes?
Well, it's the
what's in somebody's Rolodex here.
It's the idea that, see, like, you're trying to build a house, and you, what you're going to have is you're going to have your property and your defensible space.
Right.
And that's a right of everything on the planet. We mm-hmm. all have a defensible space. Every predator, every ungulate, everything does. And so you've got a right to protect your defensible space. But humans have this idea that goes outside themselves and outside that space.
Right.
With an expectation that it's going to control everything around them for their comfort and convenience.
So what are people in Placidas doing that is ruining?
Well, they're not just ruining, but see, we have people that are doing good things, and we have folks that are just following the general, them be, just let life be. If you understand how to exist with animals, which has a lot to do with your behavior and your actions, like bears, you don't attract them with your trash, it gets them in trouble. So you modify your behavior. Coyotes and all the animals, if we let them exist and we're aware and educated and cautious in our practices, then they'll be able to exist with us. That's what we need to do, is we need to allow life instead of curtail it like we're doing.
Now, it may sound like a silly question, but it's a very serious question. We're talking about wildlife in Placidas in New Mexico. I understand from talking to builders or whatever, there are rats that can be an issue for people who live here.
Right, pack rats.
Does Pathway want me to coexist with rats too?
Well, sure. And they're really important. We're just overrun with rodents, it seems like, here, with mice and pack rats and squirrels. But those are like the mainstay of the web of life, as far as like what other animals eat.
So that's a food source.
It's a food source.
I don't want to get rid of them. I want to prevent them from getting in my house.
Right. You don't want them in your house. Yeah. What you can do instead of killing them is to remove their habitat so they don't live right next to your door or, you know, in your wood pile or places that you don't want them.
Is this one of the tenets of what Pathway is trying to do?
Sure.
Human education?
Sure.
Do you have information on your website? Before we forget, let's give your website.
We do, yeah. It's pathwayswc.wordpress.com. It's a WordPress blog.
Okay.
And we do have landowner recommendations. It's a tab right up there on the front page.
So Pathways WC?
Yeah, Pathways WC is Pathways Wildlife Corridor.
Okay.
Is the WC.
I was thinking Walter Cronkite, but
this
dates me.
Okay.
all right, so there is information on the blog, but get a tab where I go and, you know, and it might be the same thing that happens, like, you never thought of a Ford FJ, but for some reason you buy one, and now all of a sudden you see them everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Right. So being, you know, only here a few years, I seem to run into people who have only been here a few years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you've been here a long, long time. So a lot of this stuff just makes all kinds of sense to you.
Mm.
People, and there's probably a good percentage of the population that is in that 1 to 4 year residency.
Right.
And this is all new to them.
Right.
Not only Placidas, but the West, whether you come from California or Salt Lake City or Washington, D.C., there's stuff you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think what we're doing here is great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Matthew, to answer your question best as far as what we're doing, and I hate to say this because you're in the process of building a house, but that is what we do. We put down permanent structures and we sprawl across the landscape. And where hunter-gatherers, humans, used to share the space,
right,
where, you know, animal might wander through and humans might wander through, and they shared the planet, we now put down stakes and we claim. And so what the animals are now having to do is navigate that.
See, one thing I think is nice about this area is that, you know, many parts of the country you have high density. You're on a quarter acre or 0.2 acres, and there, whatever lived there before is gone. Even gopher turtles in Florida and white owls, whatever. Here, like, I think I'm doing a good thing. I have 3.9 acres, but only a 2,000 square foot house. So I'm protecting. I'm not trying to paint myself as such a good guy. That's just the way the thing was platted. But but I think I could convince myself I'm really helping the environment by doing that.
Well, sure. You've got a larger lot, you know, multiple acre lot, which is really helpful.
And that seems to be more the way things are built here, even for people who are not necessarily thrilled with the population growing here.
Mm-hmm.
The way Placidas is defined, it has to be at least like 0.89 acres, which seems small just on some.
Mm-hmm.
But their multiple acre lots or residences seem pretty common here, which I would think would lay the foundation for what you're trying to do.
It helps.
I mean, your infrastructure is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we've established coyotes. You don't really have to do anything other than just leave them alone and don't be stupid and leave food outside.
And stop recognizing animals as pests. See, that's one of those things that we have in our Rolodex. We see a rat as a pest. Well, they're not simply pests. They're part of an integral web, which you need every bit of that representation there. So it's not good for us to assault any individual creature. And coyotes is one of the ones that has been under assault forever. It's amazing that they're still around in their representation.
And they're
they
not
are.
Really a food source, are they?
They are not. They considered pests, and that's why they kill them. And if we could just start recognizing animals as important, and like you say, you're going to do, as allow, you have enough land that you can allow for passage, that if we make those allowances, we're doing something good as human beings.
I figure one-on-one, they're going to win anyway, so I might as well just give
That's
up.
It. I mean, and you know, life is going to win.
But
we're
that,
not going to control that. Life is going to win out. So human beings are not going to override the situation.
Isn't that why a lot of people choose to move here, is because of them? And then they get here, and then it's like, well, now we don't. We want them over there. I'm going to drive to go see them.
Yeah, that's much like the, well, I would love to see some changes and I'd love to see things better, but I want someone else to do it.
Well,
much
sure.
The same thing. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we I think we understand the general attitude we're trying to instill in the population. So let's go back to some of the legislative things that people should probably not only be aware of, but hopefully get involved with too.
Well, the legislative session, which is just ending tomorrow, I think, 30-day session, there wasn't a whole lot in it environmentally, and nothing really specific to do with animals except for a, I think, APNM. There was an issue with...
It's Animal Protection of New Mexico.
Right, Animal Protection New Mexico. There was an issue with farm animals like dairy cows. But you know, as far as wild animals, there wasn't anything really specific in the legislature, and it's something that we wanted to bring up though, because a lot of times you get nowhere with the legislature, and it becomes a frustration. And so, one of the things that Pathways has wanted to do with the other groups in New Mexico, other environmental groups, is to have our own summit to raise the issue of being able to message to the public directly and get the public involved in a way that can kind of go beyond the legislature, because the legislature and the governor and the politicians, they're reactive. They react to what the public, you know, demands of them. And, you know, in our travels, everybody loves wildlife and wants to help wildlife and promote it. But that message does not really reach the politicians in an effective way.
Well, it's not focused. So, it's not a, like, Jean Benet, that little blonde girl who we still don't know who killed her. That's something you can really zero in on.
Mm.
Helping the animals is so broad that it's hard for a politician to work that into something that's going to get votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want drunk drivers. We don't want people who text. That you can sink your teeth in that, and you can get that six-second soundbite.
Well, something really specific was this decision by the Game Commission last year to increase, not only increase, but double and sometimes triple the quota, hunting quota on bears and cougars, which the hunters weren't even fulfilling the quota as it was before they doubled and tripled it. So that was like this outrage that really got a lot of public involvement and voice, but it was completely ignored by the Game Commission. They voted unanimously to raise these quotas.
I think we mentioned this last time we got together, and it was certainly a topic when I spoke to Animal Protection of New Mexico directly.
Uh-huh.
And again, it seems to me kind of like a non-issue in a way. Both Pathway and APNM you recognize that the number of permits that they're allowing is far exceeds the number of animals that are killed each year.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number that are killed each year is, I think everybody's good with that number. You don't think they're being overkilled or anything?
Well, that's debatable, but...
It's not this egregious mass slaughter.
The problem with it is it's not just a matter of legal hunting licenses, and not all hunters bag their animal, if you will. But we have a whole lot of poaching. We have a lot of poaching that goes on in tandem with the legal hunting. And so the pressures on the animals, along with depredation from vehicle collisions and, you know, just and ranchers and farmers that, you know, they get in their crops and they'll just shoot them. We have a lot of reasons that we're losing the animals. Mm-hmm. And so the risk that we have when we're managing them for economics in our state game and fish within our government is that you can't control that. All you can do is formulate a number and then find a quota out of that number, which doesn't take into consideration whether or not you're going to lose those animals altogether because of the entire picture.
Well, right, well, looking at Placidus and then ringing out to the state, are there any of the major animal groups, you know, cougars, bear, horse, even rats, and coyotes, are they being hunted to extinction? Are their numbers going so down that we need to be alarmed?
They're so low that the landscape's dying.
All animals, or
especially our ungulates, and of course predators.
And what comes under the category of an ungulate?
An ungulate is something that eats the vegetation on the landscape. They work the vegetation.
Okay,
they're very important. I mean, that's what sparks the action on the part of the plants on the land and causes them to expand. They do the seeding. It's terrible. This year, when we have this crazy growth, and I mean last year, actually, when we had this crazy growth on the crest from good weather, which all of a sudden we have berries and nuts, everything in good representation, we don't have the bears. What is going to spread the seeds? Bears have a very, very... a low ability to process their food.
Right.
So they eat massive...
I've seen evidence of that.
So they eat massive amounts, and they work the landscape in a crazy manner, and they seed like crazy. Right. What happens to the landscape when it's just dropping its seeds on itself?
So if there's such a lack of bear in the crest, are you saying, or is Pathway saying, that we need to actually reintroduce more bear to that area to keep the environment balanced?
Well, that doesn't work either. When you relocate or move bears, they're very territorial, so it's best to, you know, leave them where they are in their own territory.
So what could we do in this specific case that would increase the bear population?
Again, leave them alone.
So people are hunting them.
Do not hunt them.
Well,
leave the population alone.
Yeah, the hunting number for Sandia Mountain, it's very low. It's most of the bears being killed here are because what's needed there is public education of, like we were talking earlier, of how to deal with animals around your house, because that's how most of them are being killed, is through being hit on roads or being killed because people call them in as nuisance animals. So,
how much of the wildlife, the bigger game animals, the reduction in their population is a result of, say, indigenous population or tribal people who hunt them as part of their way of life?
That's another one, the tradition.
Well,
of the
these questions—they're good questions—and the question you had earlier too about, you know, what's the state of animals, you know, in the state, are their numbers decreasing? Are they being hunted out? A lot of those questions we don't even have the numbers to tell you to answer in a rational, scientific way, you know, as real numbers. Especially cougars. They're very, you know, difficult animals to know exactly how many there are. So, you know, but in on the other hand, with mule deer, we can count them and see their numbers fairly easily, relatively easily. And we know that those numbers are crashing and have been crashing for years, and there's no explanation for it that Fish and Game has. There are lots of explanations, but what to do about it and how to correct it, these are good questions, you know, and these are the kind of questions that that we would like to have the public, you know, engage in and give their input.
Right. Yeah. From a pathways political or mission perspective, are you basically cool with all of the people who hunt, you know, legally, with licenses and all that? Because it seems to be very much a part of the culture here.
Sure, it is. And yeah, it is, you know, a responsible hunter actually helps protect and encourage wildlife, because that's what they want, is to have an increase in numbers of animals.
Right.
They don't want to hunt them out or hunt them
to extinction.
So
if you met somebody socially who hunts 3 elk a year, you're not going to turn and walk away from them. You'll talk to them.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, you're not going to slash their tires.
No.
Okay.
But, you know, to answer your question, though, as far as the pressure that's put on them, and, you know, you bring up the tribes, and that's a really good point. They have basically an attitude, a traditional attitude, that the animals are there at their disposal, and the federal government, nobody can say anything about that, not state game and fish, nobody, and they can't.
Right.
But they do try to intervene.
Well, the big spirit put them there for them to live on.
And, you know...
But I thought they respected the animals.
Well, no, there are incidences where they just, say, slaughter a whole herd that wander onto the reservation. It's a matter of opportunity. And, you know, that's also sort of a human thing, too. You know, when it presents itself, we tend to jump all over it. And maybe that's also just a natural thing, a wild thing in us. I don't know, but it is a problem, because you'll see large numbers, even a whole herd of animals that are wiped out just in the name of tradition.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear to me, at least from my life experience traveling around the world in the States, that people can be pretty aggressive without reason.
Mm-hmm. So,
and let me just remind people, this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 FM in beautiful Placidas, New Mexico. I think we've got a pretty good idea of the general path, no pun intended, the pathway is going on. But there are some real tangible issues that are confront us as New Mexicans and Placidans. Mm-hmm. So let's spend, you know, a little time on that. Maybe the first one, going back to the fact that I'm building, is the extension of the solar tax credit.
Well, yeah, we hope that passes in the legislature this session. That's on their agenda. Extending the solar tax credit for rooftop solar. It's a 10% off the total cost of the system that you get as the homeowner as a right. tax credit.
How is that a pathway issue?
Solar's
not an endangered species.
It's a right. It's a an environmental issue, you know, because the alternative is coal. That's what powers most of the electricity in the state is coal, and so for every person that, you know, gets away from that, we're burning less coal, and that's less mercury on the landscape, and it has a big effect.
And do you know when the vote is coming up at the state level?
Well, it's finishing up right now. This is the 30-day session that's okay. just finishing.
So we'll find out in a couple days.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, either congratulations or I'm so sorry.
Right.
the Gila Diversion Dam.
Yeah, that's another big issue in the southern part of the state, where the Gila River has been proposed, which it has been several times in the last few decades. And each time it's studied, USGS and other experts say that it's not it's not worth, you know, doing, but yet here it is again on the agenda, and it's a big boondoggle for the state because they would have to end up paying upwards of $1 billion for this dam, which
a billion with a B,
which Arizona would use the water from, unless the dam was overflowing to the point where and all of Arizona's dams were full, then New Mexico could use the water.
Well, so who it's wants very, this? So somebody's going to make money on this.
That's a good question, Matthew. I wish people would ask that question. Yeah. That's
but
a
from
really
your research, you haven't identified who's behind this?
We haven't had our finger on this one like, you know, like some other groups probably do. There's people that are really on top of it, so no, I don't...
I'm sure we can trace it to Monsanto or...
yeah, there's some big interest
there. Or Dick
Cheney,
you know, somehow. But seriously, okay, now we have the crest of Montezuma.
Well, now
that's... the land grant.
That's one that's that we've been working on now since we started, like Peter mentioned before. And the legislation that we needed passed to be able to allow the Forest Service to absorb that just keeps getting knocked down. And that gets knocked down because of the controversy between this Buffalo Strip down here and the crest of Montezuma, the BLM lands that are open on the top
right.
of the crest. And you got several groups that are fighting over that, and they're really impeding our progress. And when we're talking about the north end of the Sandias, that's the open window. If we don't preserve that, we're going to live to regret that one.
And you say the open window, that's the main corridor?
That is the main corridor. Well, it's not the main, but look, they did the southern side of the Sandias, the safe passages, which got animals through I-40,
right.
and they kept the Manzanos and the Sandias connected through that passage. What sense does it make not to protect the passage coming into the north end
right.
of the Sandias, to just allow that to fall?
But is there something actively going on that would destroy that pathway?
Well, if a private interest gets a hold of the crest of Montezuma, then we have an entire section that sits right in one of the most open areas, which is being used for animal passage right.
right
now, and which is also connected to some private lands down in my valley on the east side, which we, through a miracle, watched one of the Indian tribes buy up.
So what do you want to have happen with the north east passageway, you know, the Sandias? You want it preserved? You want it national
we've
park?
Got to
what do you want
we've
to do?
We've got to preserve as much as of the public lands in there as we can. And we're trying to get those into forest hands because the Forest Service has already designated it non-motorized, which is a must when we're
talking
about...
Well, that's a path in the right direction.
It's a path in the right direction. Now, this doesn't curtail, you know, hiking and horseback riding and bike riding, but none of that is set yet because all of this is so up in the air. So
right.
even the use by people isn't going to be possible until this thing is ironed out. But if private interest gets a hold of the...
Well, who's ironing it out? Who are the parties involved in this discussion?
Well, we got our senators and Congressman Grisham have been involved in this. Grisham introduced the legislation, and it was so controversial due to the two Indian tribes fighting over the Buffalo Strip and the land grant, who all want parts of that land, that she doesn't want to introduce it again. So we're kind of in a tough position.
And what do
here.
Those two Indian tribes want to do with the Buffalo Track?
They want to split the Buffalo Tract, and I think they would rather the land grant would take the land on top of the crest of Montezuma, that 1,000 acres. That presents a huge problem.
So would that just be a different ownership, or are we going to see drive-in movies and Walmarts?
Well, I don't know what I can't guarantee what the land grant would do with it, but typically they've put housing on it and sold it when they get land. That's what we've seen.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then we see a critical part of the North Passage to the Sandias will be occupied.
And they're building residences and selling them to other tribal people or to
it's
anybody?
It's supposed to be to traditional Hispanic families. That's what they're supposed to be bringing back. Right. Whether or not that's happening, someone would have to look into that. I really don't know those particulars so much, but that is the idea. Okay. That's what they present.
So what one of the keys, as with most organizations, is it takes user participation. We can't possibly capture 9 years, I'm trying to do my American education math here from 2007 to 2016, but the last 9 years, we can't capsulize that all in the time we have today. And hopefully we can have an ongoing conversation of maybe we learned how to live with certain animals, we can discuss how to live with another animal.
Thank
and maybe,
you.
You know, to me, I almost would like to see some wildlife on my property. I've resigned myself that I'm not going to walk the dog at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's probably just a bad idea, especially with the moratorium on lights and stuff. So you learn to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be great to get into some of those specific conversations in the future. But getting everybody involved, Peter, you mentioned a summit. So you're actually having a summit. Where, when,
well,
how much?
We're not having it yet. We're working on putting that together.
Right. So a date has not been set.
Right.
But you will let us know.
Right, yes. And thank mm-hmm. you so much for wanting to continue the conversation and allow us to speak with people.
I think everybody I run into loves the animals. You know, and it's that old Rodney King, you know, can we all just get along?
Yeah.
I know when we were looking at, reading blogs and websites and stuff, trying to figure out where we would settle down. We read about a woman who got up in the morning, went to the kitchen, you know, big picture window or sliders out on the patio, and she noticed that there was a mountain lion sleeping on her chase. And so she just left it alone, and I think that would be wonderful.
Must have been comfortable, huh?
Yeah. I found most animals, except for the two-legged variety, won't attack you unless provoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have to have good reason, and that's a good thing for people to keep in mind. When we provide the motivation for them because we don't understand, then they become the victim because we don't realize we signaled them.
Right, and that goes back to education,
yeah.
And that seems to be one of the key tenets of what Pathway is trying to do.
It is one of our main things.
Which is Pathways, plural,
yes.
WC,
yes.
.com.
Yes, Pathways, WC. .wordpress.com.
Oh, .wordpress. And people will learn a lot more. So for today, are there any key issues that we want to make sure that we capture here?
Well, I just want to say thank you again, and thank you for all of our supporters. And another key issue that we have is the Placidus Elementary. We would like to start a after-school program there on wildlife, and we're looking for a volunteer who can help with that, and we could pay a stipend for them and support them in doing that. We also need a volunteer coordinator for our group, which is a really critical position that where the skill set is a person that can see what other people have to offer and what other people have to give, and help put them into our organization in that way, because we have several different programs that we're running, track and sign monitoring, we do wildlife cameras, and we completed our mosaic mural along 165 that people see as they're driving up the highway, and that project's been completed, but there are more things that we can do with that in the education realm.
And if people are interested in any of these or other volunteer opportunities, how do they reach you?
Well, through our website, there's a link there to our phone numbers or our email, or you can email me directly Peter Callan's email is fourwinged, numeral four, W-I-N-G-E-D, at gmail.com. Or
when I was emailing you about this, Peter, I did notice your four-winged.
Yes.
Are there animals that have four wings that I missed here?
Yeah.
That don't live near a power plant?
There is. Yeah. Dragonflies.
Dragonflies. Okay.
There's dragonflies. There's the saltbrush. It's a plant.
Okay.
Four-winged saltbrush.
Okay. See, we learned something that we didn't even expect. And Mitch, do you want to give out any contact information?
Well, the only contact information I have, because I don't use computers and never will, and it's not a cell phone either because I don't use those. It's just my home number that we use as the
phone number
for Pathways. Yeah, it's area code 505-867-5100.
Perfect.
And anyone can call me anytime if they got any questions or comments or anything.
Just want to chat.
Just want to chat.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I've enjoyed this, gentleman. And
thank you, Matthew.
I've been speaking with Mitch Johnson and Peter Callan of Pathways, kind of animal protection, let's all get along, education organization, which certainly warrants at least a visit to their website, pathwayswc.wordpress.com. So for conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 Placidus, thank you for listening.